Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church. We are located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me for a Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This is edition number 22 of season 6 as we continue looking at the book of Exodus. Just want to give you a programming note. Sometime near the end of November, season 6 will wrap up, and then I will begin immediately the book of Joshua. That is my intention going forward, so just wanted to let you know. We'll do the same thing we've been doing, take one chapter at a time, extract a few salient truths from each chapter, seek to apply those into your lives, into our lives, and we'll just keep doing that until we get to the end of the book of Joshua. But today we come to Exodus chapter 22. We continue very much the theme that we started with in the Tuesday edition. But let's pray first and then we'll consider this chapter together. Our God in heaven, we come to you now with humble expectation that you, the God of the covenant, the God who has made great promises to your people, would strengthen and guide us and give us that which we need. We pray for your strength. We pray for your spirit. We pray that you would teach us all things. You would use your word to guide and direct your people. That you would edify us through it, that that which is said and heard would cause your people to walk closer with you. We pray that you'd forgive us for our transgressions, our sins, and the many ways in which we sin daily in thought, word, and deed, and that you would cause us to cry out to you to ask for help from you as we seek to live the lives that you have called us to. Grant us your help, your spirit, as you have promised, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, today we come to Exodus chapter 22. Yesterday we looked at Exodus 21. We began to look at matters related to guidelines about living in a just society. That theme continues now into this chapter. In Exodus 22, really it continues the laws about restitution. There is, as it were, an unfortunate chapter break, but really the beginning of this topic starts in Exodus 21, verse 33, and it runs on for quite a while, right down in through verse 14, matters to dealing with restitution. A couple of things that I said yesterday that I want to be very clear about, and that is, of course, that restitution in principle means that if you borrow something from somebody, if you if something happens to it in your possession, then you should make every effort to restore that item to their rightful owner in the same way in which you received it. Now, there may be times when the owner forgives you for it, wipes the debt clean, does not insist that you restore it. There may be those times. And of course, that's a very much an act of grace on the part of the owner. They can certainly require of you to restore it as you borrowed it. But there are maybe times when that happens. And you have to wrestle with that in your own conscience and mind as to how you're going to deal with that. But the general principle of restitution is given to us in these verses from 21:33 right on through verse 15 of Exodus 22. And so we continue to see these various guidelines regarding living well in a just society. The other thing we see in Exodus 22 are laws about social justice. Now, social justice here, as given, it's really one of the headings in the ESV Study Bible. It's not the same kind of social justice that we hear about in the news today in any way, shape, or form. It's about right, doing right in matters that generally come up in ordinary course of affairs in the life of any community. For instance, verse 16, if a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for virgins. Verse 18, totally different subject. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Verse 19, another totally different subject. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. This is the sin of bestiality. It is an abomination. It's repugnant before the Lord. It's repugnant to common sense. And thus it incurs the greatest judgment. Verse 20, different subject again. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. Now, of course, this comes really much on the heels of Exodus 20, the giving of the moral law, in which God makes very plain, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. And this is the idea that's being prohibited here in verse 20. Verse 21, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Now these verses, of course, point to the idea of the helpless, the weak in the world, those that live among us that are impoverished, are disadvantaged. There's many different ways of describing these individuals. But the connection that the Lord makes here is the one that ties his people in their bondage in Egypt. It was there that they were mistreated. They were treated poorly. They were treated harshly. They were not treated with kindness at all. And as those who have received the kindness of God and his grace to bring them to salvation, to bring them to himself, we too then should labor to be gracious to those who are the weak and oppressed among us. And so we don't wrong sojourners. We do not mistreat the homeless. We do not mistreat the hungry, but instead we seek to be gracious to them. Verse 25, again, a new subject. If you lend money to any of my people who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body, and what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. Now, here, again, the idea of mistreating the poor. In other words, we don't charge interest to those who are struggling. If we want to help the weak among us, if we want to help those who are in dire need, we do not heap further burden on them by charging them interest for the gift, for the loan, for the money that you used to meet their physical needs. And then the example given about borrowing the neighbor's cloak and what will cover him, what will protect him at night when he's sleeping. Verse 28, you shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. Again, this really reflects back on the third commandment and, of course, the admonition to not curse a ruler of your people. Now, this happens a lot, and I've seen it, and I've engaged in it, I think, more times than I care to admit. But especially in the United States and the current political climate in which we live, there are people, Christians, who take far too many liberties in this area to malign or pick on or belittle the leaders of our nation. We don't have to agree with their politics. We don't have to agree with their policies, and we can say that. I don't agree with the policies of this particular president. I don't agree with his politics. But to belittle or demean them violates this principle that's given here in verse 28. Let me give you an example. There was a time when the president of the United States, Joe Biden, was walking up the stairs into Air Force One, and he fell. He stumbled and fell multiple times, and people used that as a punchline or a joke to demean him. Now, that's really unacceptable. It doesn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen, and well-meaning Christians did it. I don't know what their motivation is behind it. But I do know what the text tells me. Not to curse a ruler of your people. Verse 29, you shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its mother. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. Now, there's very specific issues here, but I think in principle we have given to us here is the need to understand that all belongs to the Lord. But he only demands of us a portion. And so here he requires a portion of that which is rightfully his in the first place. And in the same way in the New Testament church, we give to the work of the ministry. We don't give every penny, even though it all belongs to the Lord in the first place, but we do give a portion of it to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Verse 31, you shall be consecrated to me, therefore you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Not exactly sure what that is applying to, but be that as it may, God gives these differing laws to keep order within the community and within society itself. Imagine if these were not there and people were listening to the advice of sorceresses, or they were engaged in the sin of bestiality. Imagine if they were worshiping other gods. Imagine if they wronged those that were sojourners and the helpless in the world and extracting out of the poor an exorbitant interest. Imagine what it would be like if these things were occurring. It would not be a harmonious place to live. There would be no peace within the community at all. Now, we know that these things do happen in a fallen world, but they ought not be numbered among the people of God. We know better. We've had our eyes open to the truth. We've see plainly through the guidance of the Holy Spirit what these things are pointing to in principle as we live our lives from day to day. And so we need to think through these more so and recognize that while these sundry laws are given to the people of old, there is a continuity, there is a principle that can be taken from them and applied into the New Testament church, and we need to be faithful to do that in accordance with all that God has given to us. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to contact me is there before you on the screen. And so, until the Thursday edition, when we continue looking at matters related to life in the society from Exodus 23, may the Lord bless you today, and may you seek to serve Him. God bless.